Today is Asara B'Teves. The truth is, today, we didn't talk about it, we didn't discuss this yesterday or Sunday, we weren't here anyway, but in the past years we actually discussed this at great length, that today is really the third day of a three-day series of fasts. The truth is, we should really have been fasted on Sunday, and fast again Monday, and today for the third. It would be easy because today we're already used to it. The third day. It doesn't mean you fast. It doesn't mean you fast 3 days with the nights. It means you fast in the morning and at night you eat. You fast in the morning. Now, why would we fast 3 days? So, what happened on the eighth day of Teves? The time of Talmai HaMelech. This was the time, the later end of the Tkuf of the Bayis Sheni, towards the end after the miracle of Chanukah. After the miracle of Chanukah, the Yevonim, was it before Chanukah? I don't even know. Was it before Chanukah or after Chanukah? I think it was after Chanukah. I may be making a mistake. That the time of Talmai HaMelech, the Torah was translated into Greek. And we don't have any appreciation of the significance of this event.
We say in the Slichus that
happened on the eighth day of Teves. And Chazal say that when it was translated into Greek, a darkness, a choshech, came down to the world that lasted for 3 days. It's similar to the choshech of Mitzrayim. And the choshech of Mitzrayim was not a good for the Jews either. Four-fifths of the Jewish people died during that tkufa. It's not a coincidence. What the significance is needs to be discussed and understood. I don't know, but you have to at least acknowledge that there is the ninth Makkah. Right before Makas Bechoros came the Mak of Choshech. And during Choshech, it wasn't just bad for Mitzrayim, it was bad for Klal Yisrael, four-fifths of the Jewish people. V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. Can you imagine? It's worse than the Holocaust. Worse than the Holocaust, where four-fifths the Jewish people perished during that Kufa that was right before, moments before Makas Bechoros. You know, we focus on Yitzias Mitzrayim. We focus on the positive. But the whole Klal Yisrael, what? They buried. During that time, the Jewish people buried the bodies. And they didn't take them out of Mitzrayim. They're still there. Those bodies, can you imagine, four-fifths of 600,000 people. 600,000 people left Mitzrayim. So how many people were still died and were buried? And there's a Chazal that says more. It was only 1 out of 50 that left Mitzrayim. Or 1 out of 500 that left Mitzrayim. And the numbers are mind-boggling. What this means exactly. But obviously, Yitzias Mitzrayim was a bittersweet experience. But going back, the time of Talmud Melech, they translated the Torah into Greek, and a darkness came to this world, which was symbolic of a very great Eis Tzara. Choshech is not an Eis Tzara for only it's an Eis Tzara for us. It's an Eis Tzara for the whole world. Just like Choshech was an Eis Tzara for the whole world during the time of Mitzrayim, it was for the Mitzrayim. They could not move a Yomesh Choshech, but it was also an Eis Tzara for us, so maybe that's the significance of what it means. Sometimes when we have an event in world history, it's only for one specific nation. It's for one group. And for the other group, it's Laman Yishmu V'Yiro'un V'lo Yizidun Od. Hashem is punishing this nation. There's a terrible thing that's happening on this part of the world. 5,000 miles away from here, there's a terrible thing that has happened. Hashem has his reasons why he brought terrible tzar to these people, why they suffer. But we have an obligation, Laman Yishmu V'Yiro'un V'lo Yizidun Od. So, but it's not the same. This part of the world is not suffering, but at least we have Choshech is a type of Makkah that everyone is the great equalizer. The Goyim suffered with Choshech, the Yomesh Choshech, and the Jewish people suffered. Four-fifths of the Klal Yisrael died. If the Torah was translated into Greek, it was a Chorban of Choshech for the entire world, which means for us and for them. For them, they have committed a crime. Basically, they have committed a crime, so to speak, of taking something which is Kodesh Kodashim and desanctifying it. By translating it into Greek, it is a statement that there's nothing special about the Torah. The Torah is not min hashamayim. It's not divine. That's the nature of it. It's not divine. It's just a book. It's a book like any other book. We can translate it into many. And if they can, then those times they would have put out, the audio book would have come out. If they had the order, if they had the technology, then it's no different than anything else. It was a very great zilzal the Umos HaOlam had towards the Kedusha of the Torah. For us, it was likewise a very great zilzal in that our Torah, that Tmina Shemayim, has been disgraced. We are in mourning over what has happened. So this occurred on the 8th day of Teves, and it is meant to be a day of mourning. The 9th day of Teves is a day of fasting as well, and it's in Shulchan Aruch it says, it is not known, I don't know if you remember the exact words, but it says, it's we don't know why. This is the end of Chelek Vav, towards the end of Shulchan Aruch Chaim. We don't know why. It has been forgotten from us the reason why we fast on the 9th day of Teves, which was yesterday.
And then,
so the Mishnah Berurah tells us that it was the day when Ezra HaSofer was Niftar, and indeed in our Slichos, it actually says explicitly that Ezra HaSofer was Niftar on the 9th day of Teves. So the shock is, the Beis Yosef didn't know this. The Beis Yosef, he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he didn't know what it says in the Slichos. The Slichos certainly existed in his time. So the answer is, it's not so, because the Beis Yosef was a Sfardi. And it can very well be that this Slicha, which was written, I don't remember, he has all the details here, which is... Why do you say that?
Where did he come from?
He came from Bavel.
So he was a Sfardim.
Bavel, they weren't only Sfardim in Bavel. It was a... Okay, whatever. But this is very interesting. This is that the Beis Yosef, I don't remember all the details, way over my head to absorb all the information, but the Slicha is... People who are into this can tell you without blinking, without in a heartbeat, who is the author of every particular slicha. And this particular slicha that it mentions, that Ezra HaSofer was Nifter, was written by a very famous Ashkenazi. And therefore, it could very well be that this slicha never made its way to the Beis Yosef. He never saw it. He never laid his eyes on it. And indeed, if you go into a Sfarish shul, they have their own slichos for Asara B'Teves. And there are, in fact, two slichos which explicitly say that Ezra HaSofer died not on the 9th day of Teves, but on the 10th day of Teves. So it comes out that really there's a machlokes. The Ashkenazim, the true Ashkenazim, the true Sfardim as the legend, when did he die? Did he die on day 9 or on when is his yahrzeit? Day 9 or day 10? In the Ashkenazi Slichos, it says he died on day 9. In the Svardish Slichos, which we could assume that the Beis Yosef actually read, and there it said explicitly that he died on the 10th day of Teves. So when he came to write Shulchan Aruch and he says, we have a traditional, long-standing tradition to fast on the 9th day of Teves, I have no clue why we're fasting on this day. Because on this day, don't tell me Ezra HaSofer died. He didn't die. It says in two of the Slichos, of the Sfarish Slichos, that he died on day 10. So why are we fasting on day 9? I have no clue. So some want to say, this is controversial, that he died on day 10, but on day 10 we anyway fast because of it was the breach of the walls of Yerushalayim where the siege began. So therefore, since anyway we're commemorating day 10, and we also want a day of commemoration for the Patira of Ezra HaSofer, so we push it back a day. What's the problem with that? You generally don't push back fast days. Fast days you push forward. Akdume Paranusa Loi Makdeminon. If Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, we fast on Sunday. We don't fast on Thursday.
If you have Purim falls on Friday, that's a different point. Yeah, you can't push it forward.
If it fasts on Friday, then you go fast on Friday. So, but the eighth day, but why? So you'll pass on Sunday. So we'll wait until Sunday. So you push 2 days. So what's the big deal? Okay. So some want to say since already we're fasting 2 days, this is the exception. This idea that you don't fast forward, you don't go backwards. It's not etched in stone. It's a general rule. But in this situation, when anyway we're going to fast on day 8 because of Talmai HaMelech, the translation, and anyway we're going to fast on day 10 because of the siege. So it's not such a bad idea. had to push it back one day to fast on day 8 because it's really nichlal in the gimel yinei choshech. Being anyway, there are 3 days of darkness. 3 days of darkness are alone a reason to fast for 3 days. So this is an exception. We can push back the patir of Ezra to day 9. It's an approach. The Beis Yosef obviously didn't say it. He didn't want to say it because he said that, I don't know why we do this. The Mishnah Berurah writes. The Mishnah Berurah says explicitly the reason why we fast on day 9 is because Ezra HaSefer died on day 9, as it says in the Slichos. Again, it's the Ashkenazi. The Beis Yosef didn't know this. Well, it's the Ashkenazi version of Slichos. That's Takaret. The Beis Yosef did not have access. He had access to the Sfarish, which says that he died on day 10. Okay, this is one very important. One thing I left, one important thing I left out, I want to go back for one moment. On day 8. Day 8 we fast because of the Gilnei Choshech. But it's very, this is a very interesting idea that on that day, how did the Torah, was it translated into Greek? It was done through 72 zikanim. Talmai HaMelech put 72 zikanim into 72 different rooms, and they miraculously they translated it mila b'mila, and they made about 10-15 changes. They made their 10 inaccuracies they did because of Eis Lasos. There should not be any problem. It was a miracle of miracles that 72 zikanim independently were mechaving to make the same shinui in order not to endanger Klal Yisrael. So it was one of the greatest miracles that ever happened in the history of Klal Yisrael. The 72 zikanim. This is the day in the afternoon. We don't appreciate the depth of what was going on here. He was looking for trouble. Well, you know, there's the famous letter of Chutner, which has been said over a million times. And if Rav Chutner is Vardeis, it would have been a much greater miracle and he put the 70 zikanim in one room and they would come out in agreement. They would put them in one room, they would come out with 100 versions, hundreds of versions of the Torah. The miracle, that wasn't such a great miracle. But still, we have to understand, we don't appreciate that Talmud HaMelech was looking for trouble. He was looking, they should translate the Torah in a way which would open up the Torah to apikorsis, or an excuse to cause trouble to Klal Yisrael. The Zikanim were so clever, they cleverly knew how to translate the Torah to deflect any potential harm to Klal Yisrael. And all 72 Zikanim do exactly the same thing. Nisim v'niflos, Hashem did for Klal Yisrael on that day. So you would expect, here's the Chiddush. So you would expect, what should we do on the 8th day of Tammuz? We should have a Yom Tov. We should have a celebration. That's what, it was a nace like the miracle of Purim, that we got away with murder. We got away that we shouldn't have great stars. And yet, this is an amazing yisod, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah said, you're right, it's a very great miracle, but it was also a very great Chorban. That the Kedusha of the Torah was desanctified. It was harmed through the translation for us, for the world, and that overshadows the miracle. So it was a Mordecai Yisoid. The 8th day of Tammuz teaches you that on the day when two things happen, normally after Yom Kippur, two things happen. There's a miracle, and there's a very great sorrow. What do you focus on? Do you focus on the miracle and forget about the tzara, or is the tzara the ikar? Chazal selected the tzara. The tzara of the translation, the desanctification, it overshadowed the awesome miracle of the.
They came with the big papers and they succeeded against Anah. Still, the emphasis is that they cried.
Okay, they talk about this, the state of Israel. The state of Israel came with a lot of blood. Okay, there were a lot of wars, and people make this argument. I don't know if it's correct. I'm just throwing this out. People celebrate Yom HaTzmaot with Hallel, with the bracha, and many people say, you know, people lost children. It came at great, great expense. Should we really celebrate it with such great fanfare like we do today? Or maybe it should be dulled. So the argument...
No, the
day before. That's a new thing. The Yom HaZikaron...
I'm the list yeshiva.
Yeah.
Rabbi Guzman answered that question.
Yeah, what did he say?
He said, I'd rather my son would have died... To make a Medina.
Okay, so their answers. Enochanami. Okay, their answers. Enochanami. Okay, fine. Their answers. But the question is a valid question.
The problem with the Tirgum was not that they made a Tirgum, that the future of the Tirgum encouraged Hellenism.
Right, exactly. It was the beginning of a tremendous zilzul in the kedusha of the Sefer Torah. Until this moment in time, the Torah was sacred. It was viewed as Torah min hashamayim. Okay, even the goyim recognized Torah. Today, unfortunately, there are groups in Klal Yisrael that don't want to acknowledge that Torah is min hashamayim.
That kirdum was the beginning of the...
Exactly. The zilzul was nerva v'oyim. But it was also a miracle that we can't even be masig. We don't appreciate the history of the times. But if we appreciate it, when the historians tell us that the miracle was nerva v'oyim, and you know, you have to make a decision. What's the ikur? So in Echlami, I'm not coming to say, I'm just telling the question has to be asked. Today, every time we have a simcha, that's always bittersweet. There's simcha, and mixed into the simcha, there's tsar. How do you draw a balance? How do you apply a proper balance? This is a very great struggle that the greatest people always deal with. Here they dealt with that, and Bizman has said, there's no zecher for the miracle. No one even thinks about the miracle. It's not even a miracle. We don't even think about it. But the tsara is discussed. There are 3 days of Chol Shech. We do make mention. Shulchan Aruch says that you should fast. Okay, so we have over here the 7th day, not the 8th day, so we talk about Ezra Sefer. Now, the truth is, there are many other reasons why we fast. Here, I'm reading over here from Moadim Simcha. I prepared to say from the new sources, so new material for this year, different from last year. Moadim Simcha. It's a set of 10, 15 volumes. 10 by Rabbi Pei Reish Yud Yud Nun Dalet.
Freund.
Of Tuvia Freund. Excellent Svarm. And he has pages and pages. Let me summarize. He has 7 other reasons why events had happened on this day. We once actually spent on the 9th day. Let me see, find the summary.
They made it
in Eretz Yisrael.
They made it like Yom
HaShoah. Whoever
does know
who died. Yeah.
When, on
the 9th day?
Asar
B'Teves. Okay. So what are the reasons? So let's go over the reasons. Number one is Ezra. Number two, this is also discussed Nehemiah. Yeah. Okay, there's a legend that Nehemiah also was from the leaders. He was like the political leader. The political leader. There was Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra was the religious leader, and Nehemiah was more of a political leader at the time of the Bayit Sheni. He also was Nifter on the 9th day of Teves. That is, in Hashkoch of that happening, these two people who live at the same time, is beyond belief. That both of them should be Nifter, these two people who live at the same time and work together to restore Klal Yisrael, the Tikkun Bayit Sheni, should die on the same exact day. The Yeretz is the same exact day. It's an unusual Hashkacha problems, but that's what's brought down. Okay, the next, what?
Statistically, it's not that bad.
Statistically? Yeah. Why?
22 people in the room, 2 people have the same birthday.
Depends on the birthday.
22 people in the room.
19.
Probability is.
Really?
Two of those people.
How could that be?
Really?
Okay, now there's another. This is a historical reason. It's discussed. I saw this written. It's written up in many different places. There was a person, Yehoisef Halevi Hanogid. I think he lived in Eretz Yisrael about 1,000 years. I really didn't prepare the details. He was a very, very great person that did very great things for Klal Yisrael. We have to study the history of when he lived about 1,000 years ago. I believe he was in Eretz Yisrael. And he was Nifter. He was Nifter on this day, and Klal Yisrael accepted upon himself to observe his yard site as a fast day. Because of the great things that he did for Klal Yisrael, he supported many, he was extremely wealthy, he supported many institutions, he was a very great Talmud Chacham, he was a kolboy. And in his honor, it was established a fast day. Yehoisef with a hey. Yehoisef Halevi Hanogid. Okay, the next is the Tana. This is the famous shir from Rabbi Schneer Lyman, Dr. Schneer Lyman. Misa Shimon HaKalpais. Shimon HaKalpais seemingly was a Tana. And Shimon HaKalpais was advised by his fellow Tanaim to go undercover and to take the Neitzrim, the early Christians, the early Jews who were followers of Yeshu HaNotri. There were many Yeshu HaNotris. We know that there were at least two, maybe even three people who were Yeshu. There's a lot of revisionist history by the Christians of exactly what happened, but we know that it took place during time of the Tanaim, and they were in disguise. They were people that were secretly Notrim, that were sitting in shul with talis and tefillin, and were secretly undermining Yadus. So the other Tanaim said, if this continues the way it is now, we're finished. There's going to be no hope for us. So they told him to go undercover and to make believe he's joining them and to take them all the way out, to bring them all the way to the left. In other words, to make a new branch of Judaism, which turned into Christianity, and that way it will keep the Prussian, the people that are true Torah Orthodox Jews, will keep them pure in order to the Klal Yisrael will survive. He had to go undercover. He had to possibly even do things hayrasha, things which appear to be averos. And there are a lot of legends, and Rabbi Schneerleiman has a lot of fascinating material on this. And as a reward for his sacrifice of basically giving up the remainder of his personal life in order to accomplish this major undertaking, we observe his yard site. Klal Yisrael observes his yard site ad hayom hazeh, and we fast for him, which basically it's a much greater idea. It basically means that we're really fasting for the creation of Christianity. And to some degree, the fact that Christianity had to come into being because we were unable to prevent it from happening, and we had to give over one of the Tanaim in order to make it happen, in order to save us, we're fasting for the Chorban that Christianity had to come to exist. This is very deep. Well, the Rambam says very positive things about Christianity. The Rambam was a very, 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 very positive, because if not for the Christianity, barbarism, there would be cannibals out there. The world would be the very religion is the one we know today in America. That's what America is missing today. Religion. If America would be more religious, it would be a different world. Okay, it's religious in any other country. That's why America is better than every other country, because there is God we trust. Is any other country that has on the penny the God we trust in the dollar bill? Okay, so this is a very deep idea. This is worth enormous amount of study and understanding that the ninth day of Teves is a day devoted to basically the tzara, the chorban of Christianity, at least what it did to Klal Yisrael, and how it started with Shimon HaKalvus, which brings us to another reason. And some say that this no one knows this. This is something which is impossible to verify, and it's all legend. It's the birthday of the Yom Haledes of Yeshu HaNotzri. Okay, this is brought down. There's no way to know this. We don't even know when he lived. We don't know who he was. There's more than one Yeshu. But there's a legend that this is very close to the 25th day of December. But even that's a Baba Maisa we know. 25th of December is not even the. Okay, so this is just, it's a far-fetched. I think Schneerleiman, he brings this up. And he wipes the floor with this. He says this is really far-fetched to say the reason why, says Shulchan Aruch, we observe this day as a tainus. We don't know what it is, and we don't want to say it. The reason why he hid it was because if you'd write this in Shulchan Aruch, the Christians, they would go berserk. They would come, and who knows, they would burn in every shul if they saw this in Shulchan Aruch. So it had to be written in code. We don't know why we fast. We know why we fast. We fast because today is the Yom Haledes of Yeshu HaNotzri. Rav Schneerleiman is very not favorable of this approach. Okay, another answer is very simple. We're learning in Megillah. It was the day when Esther Hamalka was taken to Achashverosh. Bachodesh ho asiri hu chodesh teves. It says that Esther Hamalka was taken. It doesn't say when. When we learn, I said it doesn't say you assume it's the Rosh Chodesh. Not necessarily. There is the legend. You can't prove this. No documents to prove this. She was taken on the ninth day. She was taken on the ninth day. So we are mourning over basically intermarriage. And this is a magefa that has plagued Klal Yisrael from the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Intermarriage. America, 70%. Intermarriage. That is a day devoted to mourn over intermarriage. Esther was taken on this day, Achashverosh. Okay, I think I got them all. I think we went through all seven. Okay, now by the way, there are also... Okay, the main reason. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you the main reason. Another reason. Number seven is that the siege really began. It really began on the ninth day of Teves. Even though it says in the pasuk it was the tenth day, and there are psukim, there are in midrashim that the siege began in stages. The siege on Yerushalayim began in two stages. Therefore, it's the ninth and the tenth. All right. Leave with that. Okay, let's now go to the tenth day of Teves. What happened on the tenth day of Teves that we mourn? Tenth day of Teves is the Pasuk. The Pasuk is that on this day of Teves, on this day, Melech Bavel, he began the siege on Yerushalayim. Is the tenth day is when Melech Bavel somach yodoy al Yerushalayim. He leaned his hand on Yerushalayim. Be'etzem, it says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. On this very day, I'll read you the whole Pasuk, Vayhi Bishnas HaTeshi'is L'molcho. It was the ninth year of the Melech of Tzidkiyahu, the ninth year of his reign, Bachodesh Ho'asiri, Be'esor Lachodesh, on day 10, Bo Nevuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, Hu V'chol Chelo, Al Yerushalayim, Vayichan Oleho, and he encamped against it, Vayivnu Oleho Dayok Saviv, and he built a dayok, he built a siege, saviv. And this lasted, so again, the pasuk here says it was a chodesh asiri, and there's only one pasuk, but there's another pasuk that says, in Yecheskel, ben Adam, k'sov l'cha shem hayoim es etzem hayoim hazeh, somach melech babel el Yerushalayim be'etzem hayoim hazeh. It's the beginning of Puranis. There are four fast days. The four fast days represent a cycle. We're out of time anyway. Remember a cycle. What is the cycle? The siege began on Asara Beteves. The walls were breached on Shiva Asar Betamus. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed on the ninth day of Av. And the final She'eris HaPleta, the Gesheris HaPleta, which was being led for only a few hundred people by Gedalia ben Achikam, was assassinated on Tzom Gedalia on really the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei. That was the end. So this it's a cycle. It's a four-part process of Churban. Golus has four parts. The beginning, when it intensifies, the Churban, and the aftermath. Asara B'Teves is the beginning. Now, I want to say a Chiddush. This is a Chiddush you're not going to hear anywhere else. And it's probably total nonsense, but I wouldn't tell it to you if I didn't believe, maybe I'm totally meshuga, that there's a teeny kernel of truth in this idea. This idea has been percolating for a long time, this idea. It doesn't have any nafkmina l'halacha, and especially not in our day and age, but it always bothered me that we go through the cycle. The cycle begins today. That's why then the beginning is the worst. That's why even if this fast day would fall out on Shabbos, Mikra Adin, we would fast on Shabbos. Because the beginning is the worst. Tisha B'Av, it's in the middle. It's in the middle. So in the middle, you can push forward, backwards, you can play around with it. But the beginning is the worst. That's why you have to even fast on Shabbos. And that's why we fast even when it falls out on Friday. And then the second stage, like we said, is when the walls were breached. Shabbos B'Tamas, 3 weeks later. Then comes the Churban, and then comes Gedalia ben Achikam. The last three happened in rapid succession. The last three, Shavuos B'Tamuz. 3 weeks later is Tisha B'Av, and then a month later, whatever, a month and a half later is Rosh Hashanah. Very quickly, but the first fast, it's 3 years. It's not in the same year. It's 3 years. So I want to suggest is that when we commemorated this past Tisha B'Av, you know, when we commemorate a fast day, one of these four fast days, we don't just look at the fast day alone. We look at the fast day as part of the big picture. And in Yados, there are many rayas to this. We don't just commemorate. We reenact. We relive the festivals. Yitzias Mitzrayim is verish. Chayiv Adam Liros Esatzma. Ki Ilugu Yatzam Mitzrayim. Everything is like that. Someone used to tell me, Rav Rudiman, he always used to say, it's Anaya Kabbalah Satara. Every Yom Tov, Hanukkah, Purim, Sukkot, he'd always say, it's a new Kabbalah Satara. You're reenacting. It's always a reenactment. When we focus on Churban, we have to picture ourselves that we're living in Yerushalayim, and we got problems. The siege has begun. It's a big tzara. And then when we come to Shavasa B'Talmas, we're always reflecting, we always compare one to the other. Now, what's my point? When we commemorated last year, only a few months ago, Tisha B'Av, that Tisha B'Av forced us to reflect upon the Shiva Asa B'Talmas of 3 years ago. In other words, if we were people, which we're not, maybe the people here I don't know about, are very meticulous, the very mesuder, tachlis hasidur, everything is gecheshbend. The culmination of what we are commemorating today is going to be in 3 years from now. We're going to pass through it, and we shouldn't, Mashiach should come. Halavai, halavai, achach lebechol yom shayavo. But when we come to Tisha B'Av this coming year, and we come to Shavuos B'Talmud this coming year, it should not be, because it should be Mashiach. But in case Chas Hashem, there will be another Shavuos B'Talmud, and another Tisha B'Av, another Asar B'Teves. It has nothing to do with this Asar B'Teves, This has to do with 3 years ago. We're now entering into a three-year cycle. We have to divide, break up time into many dimensions and focus that this Shavuos B'Talmud, this Asar B'Teves, this Tzara that we have entered in today, this morning, is going to be with us for 3 years. We have to carry today, we have to remember, today, wow, what a tzara. And think about this, and go through this for 3 years. It's tachlis going to be that we're going to be passing through this Shavuos B'Talmud, Tisha B'Av, and Asar Gedalia. But when we come to those, that's a different dimension in time. Yeah, that was for 3 years ago, that 2 years ago, 1 year ago. There's an overlap. There's an overlap of galus. Again, I don't have an afghanina, but since we do have a mitzias that we do reenact events, and we do have a reality that we view time not in just yearly time, there's a Shemitah cycle, where we view time in 7 years, we view time in 50 years, and now we're obligated to reenact and to relive the experience of Churban, we relive the experience of Churban in cycles of 3 years. And it just makes it more complex is that there are dimensional layers in this reenactment. When it comes to Yovel, there are no layers. There's 50 years, 50 years, 50 years, 50 years. When it comes to Shemitah, 7, 7, 7, 7. It comes to the weekday, the 7 days. It comes to the yearly cycle of Pesach, Sukkah, Shavuos. It's a 1 year cycle. But Churban is complex. Churban is much more complex than Geula. When we reenact Churban, in cycles of 3 years. But unfortunately, there are layers, dimensional layers. Am I being clear? There are dimensional layers in these 3 year cycles. Right. You got to keep cheshbon. This year's Tisha B'Av. And this year's Shavuos B'Talmud, and this year's Atzom Gedalia is really a throwback to 3 years ago. And when you look at current events, you have to also look at current events is also in terms of cycles of larger than just the moment. Look at cycles of 3 year cycles, so larger cycles, and then there are cycles within the cycles and layers and dimensions within the dimensions. It makes Golus is not something that is simple. Golus, in fact, is more complex than Gula. Okay, we'll stop here.